This week in Inside ECAC Hockey, we speak to Yale's leading scorer, Jamie Haddad. The junior has 5 goals and 5 assists already this season. Not only has she been one of the Bulldogs' top scorers over her collegiate career, she's also at the tops academically, earning league academic honors numerous times.
I wanted to talk to you because you had such an outstanding weekend last weekend for Yale and that you're leading your team in goals right now. Your team and you had a great performance against Sacred Heart. What was that game like for both you and the team?
I think the game came at a really good time for us in the season. Whenever you play a tough opponent, it's kind of a make it or break it, or it feels like it's a make it or break it, although that's not necessarily the case, because your ultimate goal is to be the best and to play the best. And we had a couple tough opponents, I think, in the last few weeks, and we didn't necessarily play exactly how we wanted to play, and we didn't really get the outcomes we were hoping for, although they weren't really awful. And so I think the Sacred Heart game that we had this past weekend was a good opportunity for us to try and work and get back on track. It gave us the opportunity to work on our systems and work on getting better as a team instead of trying really hard to play against another team's systems and things of that sort. So I think that the game we had this past weekend, I think that there was actually a lot of good that came from it, although I know there are a lot of people who would say otherwise.
One of the great things that came from that game was that you scored a hat trick. Was that your first collegiate hat trick, or have you scored one before?
No, I've been close, but that was my first.
What is that milestone like? I know some hockey players will say, oh, you know, all that matters is that, you know, my team got the win. There's got to be some kind of special feeling when you're like, oh, my gosh, I finally did it after all of these years of playing hockey.
I mean, I was pretty excited. At first, actually, I didn't even realize that I scored a hat trick until my teammates had told me when I got back on the bench. So it kind of took a few minutes for it to set in, and I was excited about it. But I think I moved on pretty quickly from it. I still had a game to play, and I'm more just excited when the team scores and when we get points on the board than if it's me. Although I am excited about it for sure.
Now, already you've played a game this week, this Thanksgiving week, against Boston College on Tuesday night. It was a 4-0 loss, but there had to be some good that came out of challenging yourself against the number one team in the nation. What did you learn about your team in that game?
I think we were excited to play BC because they have this reputation of being so good, but it's no different for us, or it shouldn't be any different from us than playing when we play Harvard or when we play Cornell or any other good team in the league. And I think, you know, that's like when you find out what your team is made of, and it just exposed some things for us, and we're going to work on those things in like the week coming up and the games we have coming up this weekend. But I mean, congrats to PC. They played a good game, but I mean, I guess that's all I really have to say about that.
What do you think your team's best quality is right now?
I think that we're a team that doesn't really give up when we're down a goal or two or four even. I think we try and play until the very end of the game, and I think that's a good quality for us to have.
Turning to your personal game, what aspects of your game have you seen improvement in over your past 3 years at Yale?
I think physically I've become a lot stronger since I've gotten to Yale, and that's been helpful on the ice, being able to win those one-on-one battles. I've always been really determined, I think, and I'm always someone who battles hard and works really hard. But having like the physical strength to now beat all those players, I think, has been really helpful. And in terms of my mental game, I think I'm just more poised now and a lot more confident.
Leading up to your start at Yale, you played for Assabet Valley, which is a really well-regarded club team here in Massachusetts. What did that group of players and that team do to help prepare you for Division I hockey?
I think that almost everything I am about how I play hockey, everything I know now, a lot of it has come from Assabet. Like, I have nothing bad to say about them. I think if you want to be someone in D1 hockey, you should go try out for Assabet. I think that they are the team to play for if you are U18 or under 21, just not at the college level yet. I say that because if you look at how the breakdown is of teams across the country, there are good teams everywhere. There's Shattuck, they're in the Midwest, Honey Baked, Little Caesars, they're out in Michigan, Lady Ducks are in California. All across the country, we have really good teams. But one of the differences, or the biggest difference, I think, between Assabet and those other teams is that those teams are meeting a couple times a week, if not 6 days at least a week. And Assabet meets only on Sundays. So while these other teams are spending hours and hours and hours of practice together, the girls at Assabet have like an hour-long practice, hour-and-a-half-long practice Sunday morning, and then they go play a game, and that's it. They go back home, and they don't see each other for the rest of the week. And so the fact that they're still that competitive and that good, I think, speaks a lot to how the coaching staff is able to relate to the kids and work with them. And I know that we've had different coaches throughout my time, but I know Dennis Lang is a big name there. Eric Gray, Carl Gray, those are great people there. And Ronnie Hamm, all those people, Billy Horn, they teach you everything that you need to know in high school hockey. They teach you how to play. And I think the best part about them is that they teach you how to play as a team. And if you make a mistake, they're going to let you know. It is not okay at Assabet to make the same mistake repeatedly. Like, they'll blow the whistle in practice, make sure everyone knows that you messed up so that they don't make the mistake again, or other people that make the mistake. And they really pound it into your head what systems you're going to play, how you're going to play them, everything you need to know. And so I think it's good. Sorry I'm speaking so much about them, but I just have so much to say. I think they're a great program, and, you know, they're not a team that is going to build their game around one person. They really try and develop everyone on the team. And so I think that is the biggest difference between them and other teams.
That was perfect. They're so well-regarded all over New England and the country. So it's always great to hear from someone who went through the program what that meant to you and that type of training meant to you.
I think that was like some of my most crucial years that I had playing hockey was with them.
That's great. I know you played at Assabet Valley, but your Yale teammates, there are so many skaters from all over the globe. I mean, on your roster right now, it's not just New England kids. It's not just American kids. You've got people from Sweden. You have people from Europe, you know, other parts of Europe. What is it like to build a cohesive team when you have people with such a varied amount of experience?
I think it's coming to Yale and having to deal with that versus my previous years at Assabet or on other teams. I think this has been the most difficult it's been, because when people come from such diverse backgrounds, you really are dealing with a lot of different things and different playing styles and all of that. And to some extent, that has been a challenge, dealing with attitudes and things like that. But I think that we have had a lot of success with that. I think a lot of it started last year. And I think it comes from the fact that we were really able to become a pretty strong and cohesive unit off the ice first. And I think once we got that, it really just translated onto the ice, no problem. how we did that. I guess I don't have a as definitive of an answer for you, but we really just worked on spending a lot of time off the ice together. We did team movie nights and stuff, things like that all the time, a lot of team meals, and I think that's been really important for us.
You mentioned doing things off the ice, and one big part of your life has been your academic pursuits off the ice. You are ECAC hockey, all academic for several years. You've been one, and I understand that you spent some time in the Middle East as part of a Yale program. Can you tell me a little bit about what that program was and why it was important for you to go overseas during your college career?
Yeah, so I went abroad to this country in the Middle East called Jordan with a program called Amity. So it's actually not run by Yale-associated counselors or people or professors, but it's Yale-approved, which means Yale just approves like the academic rigor of the program to constitute something of like comparable sorts that would have been done at Yale or conducted at Yale. So I actually was not with other Yale people. There was one boy there, but the program had about 30 or 40 kids in it. And it was, I went on a four-week intensive program in the summer. So I basically went over there, got picked up at the airport. I have family over there because my dad's from over there, so that's why I chose that specific country. But I think Arabic is a really exciting language to learn, especially with everything we have going on in the Middle East. And I think it's going to be important for us in the future. So I guess that in combination with the fact that my dad speaks Arabic is why I chose it. But I wanted to go over there to experience the Middle East kind of firsthand and not from my family's perspective, but from my own perspective. So I went there and I did a four-week program where you spent 5 hours a day speaking Arabic in class. And then I went home every day and had a couple hours of homework. But I had 5 days a week of that for 4 weeks. So I did this four-week program. And on top of all of that Arabic, I stayed with a host family who they did speak English, but only a little bit. So I made for some pretty interesting charades nights when we were struggling to communicate. But that was pretty fun, pretty exciting, and it definitely had a lot of challenges. So I think anyone that wants to go over there and do it should definitely do it because I got to learn a lot about the culture and stuff that I don't think I would have learned if I had gone with my family or stayed here and just read about things.
That sounds awesome, that immersing yourself in another language and another culture. There's no better way to really learn, you know, than doing that.
Yeah, I was really excited. The classroom stuff was actually probably some of the easiest stuff that I had to deal with while I was over there. I had to take a taxi to school every day, which is something that's new for me. That doesn't really happen in the U.S., I don't think. And I went to boarding school in high school, so I never even had to take a bus going to high school. I just walked out of my dorm room and was there already. So traveling to school was always interesting every day. Going there, coming back, it cost me like $1.50 to take my taxi to school.
Oh, wow.
The taxi drivers don't really speak English, a lot of them, which is also kind of surprising, but they don't. So that was interesting, having to navigate a city that I didn't really know anything about in a language that at the time I wasn't really that fluent in. So that was interesting. The food was very different. They have McDonald's there, and it delivers, so that was pretty exciting.
That's interesting. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting. Apparently, in most places in the world besides the U.S., McDonald's delivers, but that was news to me at the time.
So now that you've had this experience, and I understand you've had a couple of other internships and academic extracurriculars that you've done, what is your goal for after Yale?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it?
I think that's every college junior's million-dollar question.
I have not totally figured out my plans for post-Yale, but at the moment, I'm an econ major at Yale, and I've been looking into different business and finance-related internships for this coming summer. And hopefully that will give me some insight into what I want to do. So I've been looking at places like Blackstone and Fidelity and various other places, whoever is really listening or willing to hear me talk, or anyone who wants to teach me anything, I'm all open to that. And something else that I've been considering is law school, potentially, or getting an internship with something law-related for this coming summer. So I guess when I figure out which of those two streets I'm more excited to take, I'll have a better understanding of what I want to do after Yale. But for now, that is the general direction in which I'm headed.